Time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Dori Nampofu.
In the headlines, President Mahama promises drastic punishment for Bimbilana murderers. Teachers threaten strike as they fly red flags today. NPP sets October 18 to elect party's presidential candidate and August 30 for special congress to trim down number of aspirants to 5. And Human Rights Watch concerned about fate of street children in Uganda.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news in detail. President Mahama says persons found in connection with the murder of the chief of Bimbila will be dealt with drastically to serve as deterrent to others. He said government does not intend to interfere in chieftaincy matters, but will not sit aloof as chieftaincy disputes have the tendency to destabilize the country. President Mahama was speaking at a meeting with the National House of Chiefs in Kumasi in the Ashanti region. He used the occasion to donate 13 new four-wheel pickup vehicles to the Regional House of Chiefs. Pascaline Adadevo reports.
This is President Mahama's second visit to the National House of Chiefs since he assumed office as president. He stated that chieftaincy disputes remain a major challenge to the peace and security of the country, and government will ensure that judicial committees of the Houses of Chiefs are well-resourced to deal with disputes pending before them. He condemned the recent murder of the chief of Bimbila. He said government will ensure that perpetrators of the crime are brought to book.
I cannot speak about chieftaincy disputes without mentioning the recent appalling and brutal murder that occurred in Bimbila. We condemn this murder in the strongest possible terms. Government is taking all necessary steps to make sure that the perpetrators of this terrible crime are dealt with according to our law, to serve as a deterrent to any other such criminally minded people. We are a council of rule and law, and we cannot allow a few murderous individuals or small groups to plot and create so much hate, pain and insecurity in our community. Such people will be dealt with drastically using the full force of law. I promise you that.
President Mahama said he is aware of the bad conditions of the offices of the various houses of chiefs. He said government will rehabilitate the offices in each region to make the chiefs work comfortably and expeditiously. President Mahama couldn't have ended without touching on the economy. He assured Ghanaians that the economy will see recovery before the year ends, adding that he had to approve some unpleasant measures to increase revenue and reduce expenditures to prevent total collapse of the economy.
This year is a turnaround year. We will begin to feel the effects of economic recovery by the end of this year. Unfortunately, our development partners have not been as responsive to our homegrown fiscal stabilization policy as I would have hoped. Nevertheless, we are finalizing and will outdoor the century report soon. As head of the strategic advisory team, we have drawn concrete plans and strategies to guide the implementation of the century report and thereby keep Ghana on the path of growth and prosperity. I believe that we can recover much more quickly if we believe in ourselves and in the capabilities of each other to work together to resolve our issues. It is no use sitting on the sidelines and criticizing incessantly. Let's all get to work.
President of the National House of Chiefs, now Professor John Abella, touched on the admission of Paramount Queen Mothers and their equivalents into the National and Regional Houses of Chiefs. The Legal Committee of the House has been tasked to work out modalities for the admission of the Queen Mothers. Now Professor John Abella spoke strongly against the over-politicization of government assistance to the Houses of Chiefs. He said government is mandated under the Constitution to provide for the Houses of Chiefs. Last year, government provided vehicles to the Houses of Chiefs to aid in the operations.
Pascalina Dadevo reporting.
Now, there were varied reactions towards the content of the 2014 Economic Policy Review and Supplementary Budget Statement presented by the Finance Minister Seth Dekker yesterday in Parliament. All members of the majority caucus hailed the measures by government to rescue the troubled economy. The minority observed that the statement lacks stringent reforms that will lead to the desired growth and tackle the economic challenges. The MP for Bwasi West, Kwaku Kwarteng, who is a member of the Finance Committee, said he was disappointed because the interventions he expected were absent in the presentation.
On the expenditure side, I do not hear the reform that will lead to the right-sizing of public sector expenditure. I seem to hear the minister on weaning of those state enterprises that can compete without government intervention. I do not hear any of those interventions. And more importantly, the reform that are needed to cut corruption, to cut the waste, I do not hear any of those interventions. And the minister is just asking us to give him more money. And where are we going to get that money from? It's going to come from borrowing. Whether we're going on the capital market to borrow more. So this culture of both borrow and come and spend, without dealing with the fundamentals of the problem, we're not needed anywhere. And that's what I'm going to do.
The MP for Pooh East, Dr. Kwabena Donkor, who is the chair of the Mines and Energy Committee, said the presentation was timely and in the right direction.
In the world of political economy, the idea of a supplementary budget for me is welcome. It is referred to a situation where government goes ahead to that parliamentary approval. What do you make of government measures to rescue the situation of your sector?
Well, a number of measures have been applied. This particular one, the one that talked about state agencies awarding contracts in the government. If the ICES, the teachers are all
In his contribution, the MP for Nsawama Dwejiri, Frank Anodompre, predicted further suffering for the ordinary man.
If you have a number of the statutory payments, it's going to be reduced. These are drastic measures, but you need to ask yourself, what are the ramifications on the general public and the people of Ghana? What it means to me is that the people are further going to suffer. The taxes have also been raised. So we don't know if there's some light at the end of the tunnel. Let's see. Maybe it's early days yet.
Now, what do you make of the measures to arrest the depreciation of the city?
It's ad hoc. It's still ad hoc. The Bank of Ghana said the tone will be ad hoc measures that we announced. The minority, as usual, as we came out to give alternatives, and they will not listen. They said they were going to sink it. They went to sink it. They came out with some findings of the roadmap. Even after coming from sink it, the dollar CD ratio is very bad. It's a widening. So has sink it paid off? And you see, they put what they listed that they were going to do as a roadmap. These are things that are already available to us. For instance, respecting the directive principle of import, it's in the constitution. It is something that is known. Reducing import, it is something that is known.
The Deputy Minister of Local Government and Rural Development and MP for the Dododo, Nilante Vanderpoel, was upbeat about measures to promote made in Ghana goods to arrest the depreciation of the city.
To be import dependent, we have to encourage more of import substitution. And that is exactly what we are doing. Last week, the Minister of Trade came out to say that this week we are advancing more loans to the poultry industry. We've already given money to the pharmaceutical industry. We've given some money to the poultry industry. All these are aimed towards expanding our export base in order to reduce our dependence on foreign imports. That's the only way our city can show strength.
That was the Deputy Minister of Local Government and Rural Development and MP for the Dododo, Nilante Vanderpoel, in that interview with Dominic Nogi.
The Greater Accra Regional Chairman of the Ghana National Association of Teachers, NAT, says members are awaiting the response of President John Mahama to determine their next step of action. Mr. Johnny Akpakli, who made this known to the GNA, said the association is not happy with the delay in payment of some allowances, including promotions, incremental credits, transport and transfer grants, and allowance for trainee teachers in the colleges of education. He said at a crunch meeting in Accra on Monday, the president was given a three-day ultimatum to respond to their agitations. Mr. Akpakli said at a meeting with the president, he directed them to document their grievances, which was presented to him last Friday, and he promised to study it and respond to them.
Vice President Kwesi Emesa-Arthur says government is committed to dialoguing with interested parties to arrive at acceptable positions which will be beneficial to the growth and well-being of the country. Interacting with a delegation from the Ghana Real Estate Developers Association, GREDA, at the Flagstaff House in Accra, Mr. Emesa-Arthur said the government is sensitive to current challenges confronting stakeholders of the economy. The meeting discussed prospects and challenges of GREDA and what could be done to support the activities. According to Mr. Inisa Afa, government considers Greda as an important partner in solving the country's housing deficit, adding that the association has achieved considerable success in housing delivery over the years. He noted that government will give a listening ear to concerns in relation to the housing industry in order to sustain the activities for the good of the economy. The vice president said the doors of government are always open to all Ghanaians, since it owes them the onerous responsibility to address their concerns and improve their living standards. Members of the delegation took turns to express their concerns about the challenges confronting the industry, which they claimed undermining their activities.
The NPP has set October 18 for its presidential primaries for 2016 election. The National Council took the decision at a meeting yesterday to discuss upcoming elections in the party. It also picked 30th August for a special congress to trim down the number of presidential aspirants to 5. Kwabena Jepong is the general secretary of the NPP.
The National Council meeting, the body decided on the date for the presidential primary, confirmed the steering committee proposal for the 30th of August as the date for the special congress. The body also decided that in consonance with the main election, that election will be held at the regional capital rather than one location, one significant interval station. And after that, the top 5 candidates will proceed to the general primary. After deliberation, the date of October 18 was unanimously accepted, the date for the final primary. So it was a very fraternal meeting, and of course, that is normal with any national council meeting. We had diverse views, but at the end of the day, the body came together, and these were the major landmark decisions that were made.
General Secretary of the NPP, Kwabena Jepong.
Now, political strategist and lecturer at the University of Ghana, Dr. Kobi Mensah, says it will be a big disappointment if Nana Akufo-Addo and Alan Tremantin fail to meet the cut-off point at the NPP voting aimed at trimming down the number of flag-bearer aspirants to 5. He entreated all NPP members to accept the outcome, adding that the process is in the right direction.
We need to put together the album for the election. We managed to put together all the national council committees, the standing committees, that's the vetting committee, the constitutional committee, the finance committee, the disciplinary committee, and the research committee. We managed to put it together. Open nomination, having put it together, means that the vetting committee will start its operation. And members that have applied to become the flagbearer to go through the process of vetting. This will be done August around 10th or 12th house. It means that the candidates will have just a few days, about 2-3 weeks to campaign.
I beg your pardon, that was rather the national organizer of the NPP, John Budu, and he was explaining who constitutes the vetting committee.
The Gushau District Assembly in the Northern Region has held a stakeholders meeting on the street naming and property addressing exercise. The move is in line with President Mahama's directive for all metropolitan, municipal and district assemblies to plan and implement street naming and property addressing to ensure a coherent national addressing system. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the DCE, Alhaji Fuseni, said the process has begun and he is optimistic the exercise will be completed by the end of next month.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. President Mahama promises drastic punishment for Bimbalana murderers. Teachers threaten strike as they fly red flags today. MPP sets October 18 to elect party's presidential candidate and August 30th for special congress to trim down number of aspirants to 5. And Human Rights Watch concerned about fate of street children in Uganda. We are back after this break.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
Welcome back. Nutritionists and other health professionals from all over Africa will be meeting in Accra to discuss issues of malnutrition and food security in Africa. The conference comes in the wake of a rapid increase in nutrition-related diseases such as diabetes, cancer, obesity, and hypertension. Now, 30 years ago, out of 1,000 people, only 4 could be diagnosed of diabetes, but currently 8 out of 100 have diabetes. With obesity, the rate is increasing at 25% to 40%. The situation is worrying, thereby the need for the conference to discuss the way forward and how to deal with the situation. We are joined in the studio by Dr. Paul Amuna from the African Nutrition Society. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning.
Now, how worried should we be about the situation?
Well, it is a situation that has been with us for quite some time, and we should be getting worried. The reason being that, in addition to the statistics you quoted, which is for Ghana, by the way, that when I was a medical student 30 years ago in this country, there were only 4 out of 1,000 people who had diabetes. And today, 30 years later, we have at least 80 per 1,000. Now, that is a tremendous jump. But additionally, we still have the problems of malnutrition, undernutrition, underweight. Now, the other thing that is important for people to recognize is that poverty, poor maternal nutrition, low birth weight, and underweight are related to this diabetes that we're seeing. Because when a baby is born small, the chances of them becoming overweight and obese later in life are much, much higher. And that predisposes to some of these problems. So we must be worried indeed.
Now, with this upcoming conference, now what issues do you seek to deal with in order to find a solution to these problems?
Right. Now, the theme for our conference this year, which is the largest nutrition conference in Africa, by the way, and we hold it every 2 years. The theme is actually on food and nutrition security in Africa. And we are hoping to look at the challenges that are facing us, as well as the opportunities for addressing those challenges.
Now, which people are we to expect? Nutritionists from just Africa, all over the world, or?
In fact, actually, in addition to nutritional scientists, food and agricultural scientists, and other health-related workers coming across from Africa, and students, researchers, we also, it's a global activity, because we have some of the leading names in nutrition and agriculture and food policy coming from other continents, including Europe and the Americas.
Now, what will this conference add to policy making, especially in Ghana?
Okay. Now, first of all, we have a pre-conference event on Sunday, the 20th of July. And this conference, a pre-conference event, is on the GM debate. And as you know, here in Ghana recently, genetically modified foods have become a big hot topic. And there are so many people who are ignorant of the facts and who, you know, have taken one side or the other. And in terms of the GM debate, as you may well know, at the moment, there are policy issues in Parliament, even have been considering, you know, legislation on GM, for example. So this pre-conference event will actually attract some of the best experts who will actually argue from both sides of the argument. And it's a public engagement activity. It's free. And it's at Gimpa, and that will be our opening before we go into the serious business of looking at the nutritional other challenges that we talk about.
Now, finally, you have indicated that obesity is a serious problem. Now, is it hereditary?
That's a very good question. Now, in fact, we do know that there are some people who are predisposed to obesity by virtue of their birth. That is true, yes. But the genetic contribution to obesity forms about 35% of the causes of obesity. This means that 65% of the causes of obesity are environmental. They are related to our lifestyles and things like that. Now, let me explain further. What we do know now is that if a mother is born a girl child is born small, and she grows and she's small, and she has a small baby, the chances of that small baby later on in life becoming overweight and obese are much, much higher. That is one. We call that a nutrition transition. And we're seeing that in Africa, we have a lot of underweight babies. That is one of the reasons why we have nutrition rehabilitation centers, and we have all these things that we try to do in order to improve nutrition. One of the things we'll be discussing at this conference is actually to look at issues around maternal, infant, and young child nutrition and how we can help address underweight.
Well, thank you very much, Doc, for joining us in the studio. And that was Dr. Paul Amuna from the African Nutrition Society, and they will be organizing the South African Nutritional Epidemiology Conference to discuss nutrition and other issues related to health. Thank you very much, Doc.
Thank you.
Moving on, SNIT will soon introduce biometric smart cards and automatic teller machines, ATM, to employees who are members of the SNIT pension scheme for easy assessment of information. The Takrade branch manager, Jerry Garty, made this known at a seminar organized by the Trust in Takrade. Sami Afa was at the event for Radio Ghana.
The introduction of the biometric smart card is under a project called SNIT Operational Business Suite and Enrollment Model. Mr. Gata explained that the goal is to provide improved service delivery to stakeholders. The project, he said, will be implemented in two phases. The first phase will focus on the biometric registration of members' insurance of smart cards and the registration of numbers of new employees. The second phase would be on the contribution of management, compliance enforcement, and benefits processing. Mr. Gatte said, under the registration, employees under the SNIT pension scheme will be required to provide their photographs, fingerprints, and signatures. He urged employers to help make the exercise successful.
That was Sami Arthur's report.
In order to be abreast of advances in technology, GBC continues to upgrade the knowledge of staff to enhance productivity. As a result, the corporation has held a three-day duty course for its telephone exchange staff at Broadcasting House in Accra to enable them work with new equipment. The Deputy Director of Human Resource, Ben Richman, charged the staff to bring what they have been taught to bear on their work to project the image of GBC.
We are aware that these days we see quick changes in our operations, and the developments of technology have also impinged on whatever we do. We notice that the telephone exchange people now, due to the type of equipment that we use in our communications, may not be doing exactly what they were doing several years ago. During the course, I believe that they were appropriately given their skills and knowledge that will let them perform effectively as front desk persons.
That was Deputy Director of Human Resources of GBC, Ben Richman.
The Accra Diocese of the Anglican Church has established links with the Diocese of Santa Maria in Brazil, which will be mutually beneficial in the areas of evangelism, education, exchange of personnel, and skills, among others. The Anglican Bishop of Accra, Right Reverend Dr. Silvanus Mensah-Tortu, announced this when he opened the three-day synod of the church at Legon. He informed the delegates of the visit to Ghana of the Archbishop of Canterbury from the 29th to 31st of October this year.
The three-day synod is under the theme Pressing On Towards the Goal. In his report, the Diocesan Bishop, Right Reverend Dr. Silvanus Mensah-Tortu, briefed delegates on issues including the establishment of a men's desk in the diocese, the institution of a Father's Day Thanksgiving every third Sunday in June every year, and the 120th anniversary celebration of the Cathedral Church of the Most Holy Trinity. Also reported on were appointments and new schedules in the diocese, touching on the links established with the Diocese of Santa Maria in Brazil. Bishop Tortu said it was agreed that in the first month of signing the Memorandum of Understanding, the Accra Diocese shall send 8 graduate teachers and students with fluency in English and French to teach in institutions in Santa Maria. Again, all persons participating in the exchange program are required to have basic knowledge in English and Portuguese. Also, the two dioceses will award scholarship to brilliant students. As part of the agreement, the Diocese of Accra will send 4 fashion designers to help train the industrial department of Erechim College of Brazil, among others. Bishop Tort is charged on the theme for the synod.
As well as outdoor programs. We try to achieve certain learning. If you don't find joy when you are in a high position, if you feel empty when you have a lot, if you feel poor, don't you not feel anything to achieve certain life. Even though we enjoy well and certain success, we are failures if our Lord says that he does not go out.
Bishop Tortu said women of the church will be engaged by Rafiki, a non-governmental organization, to produce batik tie and dye materials and baskets for export to the United States. Bishop Toto said, women of the church will be engaged by Rafiki, a non-governmental organization, to produce batik tie and dye materials and baskets for export to the United States.
That was a report on the 3-day synod of the Accra Diocese of the Anglican Church, which began yesterday.
In foreign news, a human rights group says street children in Uganda face constant abuse from police and other government officials. Police beat children with whips and wires, throw them into jail and extort bribes from them. A report by Human Rights Watch said street boys and girls are also raped by men and older boys. The group said scores of street children fear the authorities and that the police are a source of violence and not protection. Government is therefore entreated to focus on improving the lives of street children and prosecute those responsible for abusing them. Now to end the news, the main points again. President Mahama has promised to drastically punish the murderers of the Bimbilana to deter others from such acts. President Mahama was speaking at a meeting with the National House of Chiefs in Kumasi in the Ashanti region. The Greater Accra Regional Chairman of the Ghana National Association of Teachers, NAT, have threatened to strike today. The association is not happy with the delay in payment of some allowances, including promotions, incremental credits, transport and transfer grants, and allowance for trainee teachers in the colleges of education. The MPP has set October 18 to elect the party's presidential candidate and August 30 for a special congress to trim down the number of aspirants to 5. A political strategist and lecturer at the University of Ghana, Dr. Kopi Mensah, has also entreated all MPP members to accept the outcome of the vetting. And Human Rights Watch in Uganda has expressed concern about the fate of street children in the country. Reports by the group said street boys and girls are raped by men and older boys. The news was presented by Doreen Ampofu.
And Samuel Essa in Accra.